Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson made some money at the NFL Draft Combine this weekend.
You are Locked On Longhorns, your daily podcast on the Texas Longhorns. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Longhorns, the show. Jonathan Davis, your host. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. On today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, we discuss Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson's performances at the NFL Draft Combine this past weekend. The Texas basketball team beat Kansas by 16 in their last regular season game of the season. Also, Serge Ibaka Rice and Marcus Carr took home some Big 12 awards, and the Texas basketball team, in my opinion, got the best draw in the Big 12 tournament this week, even better than the number one seed Kansas. We discuss all of that, plus this Texas baseball team, 4-7 through 11 games. Last year, we were 11-0 through 11 games, dropping the weekend series 2-1 to Cal State Fullerton. All of that and more on today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And before we get into Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, we have officially finally made it. Today marks the first day of spring practices for the Texas Longhorns. We will have the first spring practice update slash reaction video on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Longhorns following the first practice. So it's just refreshing to watch Longhorns at the NFL Draft Combine again and knowing that they're going to get drafted, especially on the offensive side, because last year we only had Josh Thompson and Cameron Dicker. So we got to see some offensive players, and you know, we saw earlier on March 2nd, Keandre Coburn, DeMarvion Overshown, and Moro Ojomogo. But as Longhorn fans, we were all waiting for Bijan and Roschon. And as I said earlier, I think they both made some money this weekend. We can start with Bijan Robinson, who I think is the most explosive offensive player in this draft class. I think he is the best running back prospect I've seen since Saquon Barkley, and I think he'll be special at the next level. He came in at 5'11". 215. I thought he would be over 220. He came in at 215 and ran a 4.46. I said as long as he ran a sub 4.5, that the time would validate everything that's on the tape, and he couldn't have had a better combine. I had to give up the dream of him landing to the Cowboys at 26, because I don't think there's no way in hell that 25 NFL franchises pass on Bijan Robinson after what they saw on the tape for 3 years and after what they saw at the NFL Combine. And I don't know where Bijan will get drafted. I know he'll get drafted in the first round. I know he'll be the first Longhorn offensive player to be drafted in the first round since Vince Young. Just let that sink in for a minute. That sounds crazy, right? I don't know if he'll go top 10, top 15, top 20, top 32, whatever. Like, where he'll be in terms of the first round. He will be a first-round draft pick. But I know that there's not five players better than Bijan Robinson in this draft. I think Daniel Jeremiah had him as his number four player in the NFL draft, but because of how the NFL looks at the running back position, somebody's going to get a steal wherever Bijan is drafted, because I don't think he'll go top 10. I think all four quarterbacks, Will Levis, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and Anthony Richardson will all go in the top 10. You got Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, some other premier defensive players that'll go in the top 10. I think Bijan will go somewhere after that. So wherever he gets drafted, because I think he's a top five player in this draft class, will be a steal. And if you looked at who's in this draft class that you could say had a better college career than Bijan, I would say Bryce Young, who went to a Natty and won a Heisman. I would say CJ Stroud, who was a Heisman runner-up and went to the college football playoff. I would say Will Anderson, who should have won the Heisman in 2021 over Bryce Young, was really good defensive player the last 2 years. And then Jalen Carter was the best defensive player on two national championship teams. After that, Bijan Robinson is the best player in this draft class. There's nothing on the football field that he does not do well. And on top of what he does on the football field, he's an even better person. Like I said, somebody that's going to come in and transform your franchise, a Hall of Fame level talent. And if he does not go in the top 10, whoever gets him will be a steal. Wish he was going to my Dallas Cowboys, but I guess it's time for me to pivot to Jahmyr Gibbs or somebody else. Roschon Johnson came in at 6'2", 219. Once again, I thought he would be over 220. Maybe he lost some weight, in preparation for the draft. He ran a 4.58, which I thought was really good for Roschon. As long as he ran a sub 4.6, everything that he did at the combine would validate the tape. And I think the perfect embodiment of Roschon and who he is, right? The leader that he was at the University of Texas, switching from quarterback to running back, ended up, you know, being somebody that'll get drafted this year, was he wasn't fully healthy from the Senior Bowl, right? He was still hurt with his hand at the Senior Bowl, but he participated in the combine. We see people not participate in the combine just because they don't want to run a slow 40 or something. Like, people that aren't even hurt, they don't participate in the combine. Or quarterbacks not throwing because they want to throw at their pro day with receivers they're familiar with, right? Roshan out there with an injured hand still performed in the combine and did really well. Like I said, that 4.58 was great for him. He looked really smooth in running back drills, as did Bijan, and he looked like a natural pass catcher in the pass catching part, as did Bijan Robinson as well. And I'm not sure where Roshan will get drafted. I think it'll be fourth round or later. But as we saw with Isaiah Pacheco last year, who was a seventh round draft pick, who ended up being the leading rusher for the Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs, there is a running back every year that just comes out of nowhere, right? Because, you know, running backs are devalued. You can get them at the fourth or fifth round, and they can still be a heavy part of your running back rotation. So I think he's going to be a really good running back in a running back rotation this year. And I would not be surprised if he ends up being the bell cow in the next few years for an NFL franchise, ends up being the leader of a running back rotation. Like I said, there's a running back every year that comes out of nowhere from running the late rounds. And we're like, damn, where did he come from? He ends up being a 1,000-yard rusher in the NFL. I think Roshan Johnson fits that profile. So Bijan and Roshan, they made some money this week at the NFL Combine. Cannot wait to watch both of them run in the NFL. And I think both of them will have very successful careers as forever Longhorns at the running back position in the National Football League. A quick word from our sponsors, and then we're going to talk about this Texas basketball team wrapping up a special season for the Longhorns and Rodney Terry. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and the calories? Then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little bit healthier this year. If you're like me, where you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious you won't think that they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they are all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in amazing flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. So whether it's the website, Sam's Club, Walmart, get your Built bars today. So talking about this Texas basketball team, what a special season. Everything they went through to end up at the end of the season, number 2 team in the Big 12, unquestionably the best conference in college basketball. Just a salute to everybody involved, from the team, the coaches, the staff, the managers, the athletic department, everybody that had a part in this special regular season for the Texas Longhorns. And I want to give a special shout out to Marcus Carr, who took home first team all Big 12. I thought it was well-deserved. When you look at Serge Ibari Rice, Big 12, sixth man of the year, obviously well-deserved. I think he was the national sixth man player of the year. Third team all Big 12, I thought he earned that. Sixth man of the year in the Big 12. And then he was on the all newcomer team as well. So two Longhorns took home some awards. I think Timmy Allen was all Big 12 honorable mention. So congrats to him as well. Jerome Tang from Kansas State, he did win Coach of the Year in the Big 12. I would have voted for Rodney Terry. Of course, I'm biased. It's Locked On Longhorns. Why wouldn't I be biased, right? I thought Rodney Terry put in a strong bid for Coach of the Year in the Big 12. But, you know, as voters, it's kind of hard to parse, you know, between what Chris Beard did and what Rodney Terry did. So, you know, I understand that. If he coached for a full season, Rodney Terry definitely would have been the Big 12 Coach of the Year. But congrats to Jerome Tang. When you look at what this Texas basketball team did against Kansas on Saturday, I think it's kind of easy to look at it in a bittersweet way, right? Because we beat Kansas by 16. And so then you kind of go back retroactively and say, well, if we would have beat TCU or Baylor, we would have had a chance to win at least a share of the Big 12 title by beating Kansas on Saturday. That didn't happen. I thought that Rodney Terry still did a good job of rallying this team and having them go out there and show this type of performance against who I think is the best team in the country right now, the Kansas Jayhawks overall. And casuals are going to say Kansas had nothing to play for because they already locked up the Big 12 regular season title. They were already the number one seed in the Big 12 tournament. That is not true because they're still playing for the number one seed overall in NCAA tournament. And Texas might have took them out of that because U of H won and Kansas lost. Now, when you look at the Texas defense, why did they win this game by Kansas against 16? The biggest reason is the defense held them to 36% shooting. This is when this Texas team is at its most dangerous because they didn't shoot the ball exceptionally well themselves, but they were still able to score 75 points while holding a team to less than 60 on 36% shooting. If they do that, they can go far in the Big 12 and the NCAA tournaments. Like I said, that's when they're at their best. When we looked at the last two games against TCU and Baylor, this Texas basketball team was out-rebounded by 30 combined, right? And this is a team that loses the rebounding battle in most of their games, especially their losses. I know the Baylor loss, Texas Tech loss, Kansas loss, Tennessee loss. Just off the top of my head, I know they lost the rebounding battle. TCU, most of those games by double digits, they were able to out-rebound the Jayhawks, a very physical team down low, 36-34. Another reason why they won that game. And they only had one player in double figures, Jalen Wilson. He did go off for 23. Probably the best game I've seen for him in a while, hitting, you know, mid-range three-pointers and getting to the free throw line like he usually does. It just didn't matter because the Texas basketball team still won by 16. What they did well, when you looked at it, Serge Ibaka Rice and Tyrese Hunter combined for 43 points in this game. Serge Ibaka Rice with 23, Tyrese Hunter with 20. And I think what's really refreshing for this Texas basketball team is that Tyrese Hunter has gotten his confidence back at the right time. Now, it started with the Iowa State game. Of course, he played at Iowa State. He wanted to prove something to them. But when you look at him in his last four games, he is averaging almost 16 points a game in his last four. If he can continue this up for the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament, it's going to be hard to get Texas out of either one. His first 20-point game since January 3rd. So that just shows you how long we have been waiting to see Tyrese Hunter get back to that form he had at the beginning of the season. And really, this was the first time, like I said, his first 20-point game since the Kansas State game where they scored 103 points, right, against Kansas State on January 3rd. He went over 2 months without scoring 20. And then when you look at this Texas basketball team, they only shot 28% from three, but still scored 75 points and still won by 16. And they didn't shoot the ball extremely well themselves, only shot 45.5% from the field, I believe. So this just shows that their defensive ceiling, they can hold a team like Kansas to 59 points, but it also shows on offense, this is a team that can go out there every game and score 80 plus. And so really good into the regular season. You know, like I said, I think Kansas is the best team in the country overall, and to beat them by double digits in a game they were trying to win, don't get it twisted, is a really big win for Rodney Terry, this Texas basketball team, and to close out the regular season in style in the Moody Center. And for everybody that screams, can Rodney Terry recruit AJ Johnson and Ron Holland, were their two top 15 players in the 2023 class? They looked like they had an amazing time, right? Both throwing up the hook'em. I think they're still committed to Rodney Terry and the Texas men's basketball team. And when we talk about the Big 12 tournament that takes place this week in Kansas City, I think Texas got the best draw, even better than Kansas and the number one seed. Because Kansas and Texas are both going to get a bye. But when you look at it, Texas obviously won't have to play Kansas until the final if they get there because they're the number one seed. They won't have to play Baylor, who's on Kansas' side of the bracket, the top offense in the Big 12, until the final. And they won't have to play Iowa State, who's on that same side of the bracket, the best defense in the Big 12, until the final. So Texas, as the number two seed, will not have to play the best overall team in the Big 12, the best offense in the Big 12, or the best defense in the Big 12 until the championship game. And then when you look at who's in the first round matchup on that side of the bracket, Texas Tech, who played Texas tough twice, and even though Mark Adams just got suspended for comparing his basketball players to slaves and said he was just quoting the scripture and also is accused of spitting on a player, I'm not sure what's going on with that. I think this Texas Tech team still can play really hard and still can beat Kansas in the first round, right? Last time I saw Texas Tech and Kansas play, it went down to the wire. And I think West Virginia, coached by Bob Huggins, is a team that'll come out and punch you in the mouth as well. I think both of those teams, Texas Tech or West Virginia, would have gave Texas trouble in the first round. Instead, Kansas has to deal with them. And then when you look at Texas' side of the bracket, they get the winner of Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma State and Oklahoma four out of four times. I know the games with Oklahoma were a little close, but they still find a way to beat Oklahoma every time, as close as they are. I'm not worried about that first round matchup at all. I would have been worried about facing the winner of Texas Tech or West Virginia, especially if Texas Tech won. And then once you beat either Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, if you don't, that's a huge disappointment. Might be the biggest disappointment of the season. You play either the winner of Kansas State and TCU, and you split with both of those teams. You lost to Kansas State at home, but they scored 116 points. They won't do that again. And then you beat them in Manhattan, Kansas. And then at TCU, you got down 18 points twice to them. You beat them once, couldn't overcome it on the road in Fort Worth the last time, but I think TCU is definitely beatable. Kansas State is beatable. I would prefer TCU, but Texas beating both of those teams this year, they should not be scared of either one of those matchups. Then if you win that game, you're in the championship, like I said, against either Kansas, Baylor, Iowa State, Texas Tech, or West Virginia. If you at least get to, I think, the second round, like if you at least beat Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, you're guaranteed a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. And if you're guaranteed a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, that means the first 2 teams you play have no business beating the Longhorns. That should write their ticket to the Sweet 16. If they secure a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, then I'm going to say this team needs to make it at least into the Sweet 16. And if they do that, then Ronnie Terry needs to be back as the Texas men's basketball coach next year. But from what we've seen thus far, a special regular season for the Longhorns, a special regular season for Marcus Carr and Serge Ibari Rice taking home awards for the whole team, really, like I said, everybody involved. And hopefully this week and for the rest of March, they put on a show as the Texas men's basketball program. And then the Texas baseball team, they fell 2-1 to Cal State Fullerton. Like I said, they're 4-7 on the season. We were spoiled because last year the Texas baseball team was 11-0 at this time. I went to the 12th game of the season where Tanner Witt was scratched and they lost to UCLA. So I guess that was a bad luck charm for the Texas Longhorns last year. On the Friday game, you lose after a wild pitch in the bottom of the eighth. You're tied 5-5 in that game. You have a wild pitch. Somebody scores from third. That's how you lose, right? Just mental errors. Saturday, you win 4-2. You had 2 solo homers. And then Morehouse and Hurley gave you 9 innings of 2-run ball. So to be able in college baseball to only use 2 pitchers and go 9 innings, that's exceptional. And that's what happened on Saturday. We've told you that the pitching has been the best unit of the baseball team thus far. And that's kind of continued. And then on Sunday, you hit a 2-run homer in the top of the ninth to send it to extras. You know, you wish that the offense would be able to score more than 3 runs in 9 innings, or you wouldn't have had to go to extras. But you did what you needed to do in the top of the ninth to get it to extras. But then their bullpen outlasted ours. We scored in the top of the 10th. They scored in the bottom of the 10th. We did not score in the top of the 11th. They scored in the bottom of the 11th to walk it off. So now, once again, this Texas baseball team is 4-7 on the season. The only series they've won thus far, well, they've only played 3 series, but the only series they've won is against Indiana 2-1. And they're just losing a lot of games that they should have won, right? Even with the talent devoid from what we had last year, these are games that this Texas baseball team still should have won. And they're losing a lot of games because of mental errors, whether it's, you know, defensive errors, wild pitches, just not being all the way there yet. So hopefully they can get it together. They have a lot of ground to make up before they get to Big 12 conference play. And, you know, hopefully by that time they're gelling and playing their best baseball. But it's obvious right now they're not playing their best baseball, and hopefully they get it together. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Once again, our first spring practice reaction slash recap on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Longhorns. Cannot wait. Hook 'em and peace.